Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
This is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, or Epiphany 2, Year B. Eli helps Samuel listen for God's word in the Old Testament. Paul bases his teachings on sexual ethics on spiritual connections in Corinthians. In John, Nathanael is surprised to hear that anything good can come out of Nazareth. Come and see how multiple intelligence theory can bring some good to your teachings about God's word.
We've established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary. They use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's word. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Year B, Ordinary 2, or Epiphany 2, is 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10, and optionally 11 through 20. We're just doing 1 through 10 today.
I know, it's kind of weird of us.
It is. But this is the call of Samuel, and so as a boy, he was living in the sanctuary at Shiloh with Eli. And it says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. And Eli, whose eyesight was poor, I don't know if there's a connection there, but anyway, he was there, and Samuel was staying in the sanctuary. And the Lord calls to Samuel, and Samuel thinks it's Eli, so he runs off to Eli and says, here I am. And he says, "Mind me, go back to bed." And that happens three times. And on the third time, Eli's thinking, there's something happening here. So it could be the Lord, so go back. And if he speaks to you again, say, "Lord, your servant is listening," which is exactly what happens. The optional verses go on to tell what the Lord says, and then that Samuel tells Eli, and then that Samuel grows up to be a well-respected prophet. So you can do that if you want. But we have special effects for you for the first 10 verses. We're going to do word smart. We have a special effect for you, and a math smart illustration, body smart illustration, and people smart illustration and special effect. So Molly's got our word smart to kick us off with here, my darling.
Alrighty. Well, one of the commentaries I was reading, and I can't remember which one it is now, said that the Hebrew word for rare can also be defined as precious. And, you know, things that are rare generally tend to be precious because there aren't that many of them, and everybody wants one. So it's considered something highly valuable and prized. So the word of God was highly valuable and prized and kind of rare. So for a special effect, think about this particular question as you prepare your sermon and your worship experience. Precious things are rare. So what words are rare and therefore precious? Maybe there are some particular words in your congregation or for people in your congregation that would be precious to them. Maybe they're words they don't hear very often. So print out some words like love or listen, accept, humble, courage, presence, commitment, any other kind of word that would fit this passage, and hand them out. And then during the service, encourage people to underline them as they encounter them. They might not actually hear them. Maybe
so,
they would.
So like hand them out in
on a bulletin insert or something.
Okay.
So make them available. And then as people encounter these words or either hear them specifically or kind of get a sense of them, they can underline them. And if you have any other ideas for words that are rare or that you would like for your congregation to hear, you can add them to that list and then be sure to use them.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yes.
For Math Smart, this is a story of, it's kind of a triple. We've talked about the triple mm-hmm. pretty often, and that's where you have the two setting up
the third
the pattern, and mm-hmm. then the third one changes the pattern. Yeah. And that's sort of what's happening here, but not quite. So anyway, what we find is that the likelihood of Samuel hearing a sound that would be like Eli calling him when it wasn't Eli calling him, and that happening three times, seems beyond random chance. And so statistically, the phrase that you would use there is that it would be statistically significant.
Yeah, right.
So went looking for that, and you can find out a little bit more about it by following the links that we have for you. But when something exceeds the threshold at which you would expect it could happen randomly, then it becomes statistically significant.
Right.
This doesn't seem to be a random occurrence. If it happened, you know, occasionally over a month.
Well, it's probably a bird or something outside that Samuel's misunderstanding is being Eli. Yeah.
But three times
in
one night,
yeah.
Something's happening. It might not be the Lord, but it's something.
Something.
Right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, mathematically, then you can explore the idea of statistical significance and likelihoods and probabilities and all those sorts of things. So we have a few links for you to help you understand those concepts if they are not familiar to you now.
For Body Smart, a question to keep in mind as you prepare things, we've already kind of alluded to it a little bit with the description of the passage, is that Eli's eyesight or his vision is failing. So keep in mind, is this a literal failing or is this a metaphorical failing or both? So for an illustration, Samuel spends an awful lot of time in this story jumping in and out of his bed. It's a good thing he's young, so he has the energy to be able to do that.
Although some people of a certain age have that experience,
this is true.
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
For a different kind of calling.
Right, exactly. A different
just thought of that. You could use that if you want.
Well, then there's also parents who get up because their kids wake them up. If you've got a brand new baby, you don't sleep for a very long amount of time. If you Google the phrase, the importance of uninterrupted sleep, we have a link for what comes up. It's article after article after article saying that it's not necessarily the amount of sleep you get, but the amount of uninterrupted sleep that you get that is beneficial health-wise to let your brain and your muscles recoup. So if you sleep in bursts, that's not good. You need a stretch of uninterrupted sleep. So neither one of them are getting that this night.
Right.
So anyway, Samuel jumping in and out of bed. What you could do as an illustration is describe that process step by step. So he's in his place, where his bed would be. He takes off his tunic, hangs it on a hook on the wall, lays down, pulls up the covers, closes his eyes. Maybe he says his prayers at some point in there. Mm-hmm. And then he hears a voice calling his name. So he throws off the cover. He gets up. He pulls on his tunic. He runs up the hall to Eli's room. He opens the door and announces, "Here I am." And then slowly back down the hall, wondering what it is he'd heard. And wondering if he can get back to sleep, and then you repeat the whole process.
Twice.
Yep.
Yep. For People Smart, for illustration, Samuel is another in a long line of unexpected persons in Scripture called to do God's will. And so what unexpected persons have you met who have carried out God's intention around you, into your life or past your life or that you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. So
or in the life of your congregation.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can do that either as a reflection that you would give on somebody unexpected in your own life or invite folks to ponder that for themselves. Then also, who comes to mind when you think of someone who, like Samuel, has had to deliver difficult information to powerful people? Which is actually in the second section.
Right, that is optional. In the second section. Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and as an illustration for that, you could probably allude to the Me Too movement, the hashtag Me Too movement. Yeah. There are a lot of people that are delivering unwelcome news to people.
Yes, yes. Then for special effect, prior to the passage, we learn that Eli's sons and his heirs to his position are irreligious, abusive, and not willing to change. And this story ends with Samuel telling Eli that he and his sons are going to be punished. So invite your folks to discuss with each other, perhaps, or you can, again, offer something yourself here, but why God chose to loop Samuel into that drama, do you think? And Eli's response to this gets tied in there too, but that also has some self-smart implications.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Eli's response, which is, it's the Lord's will, let him do what he's going to do.
Right.
Right. And then also for a special effect, you could do this passage as a reader's theater.
Mm-hmm. And if you do, I would say use the whole thing, go all the way to verse 20.
Yeah, if you have the time, that would be good. Mm-hmm. Right. So if we have a chance, we haven't done it yet, but if we have a chance, we'll work up a script for you. But it's not hard to do. You can figure that out. You know, you got narrator, you got Eli, and you got
Samuel, the voice of the Lord.
And there you go.
All right, let's go on. The New Testament lesson for Year B, Ordinary 2, Epiphany 2, is Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it's chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. This is a section that has a great deal of lead up in a previous chapter that we're finally getting to the point where Paul's getting to the point here, which is he has heard an awful lot about things that are happening among the Corinthian congregation that are not all that savory. And he is trying to remind them that their lives are to be different because they now belong to Jesus. And so he goes into a great deal of detail in this particular section about fornication and how you shouldn't do it and why. So a lot can be said about this. We've decided to stick with three of the intelligences. We're going to look at an illustration in Math Smart, an illustration in Body Smart, and an illustration in Nature Smart, and see what we can come up with here. So David will start us with math.
So we have a couple of logical thoughts here. One is that Paul is saying you shouldn't be having sexual relations with prostitutes because your body doesn't really belong to you anymore. It is part of Christ's body. Mm-hmm. You don't have that leeway to just take yourself out and do things with whomever because mm-hmm. you're bonding with folks in a way that Jesus would not and that's not appropriate. Oddly, that reminded me of an episode of The Simpsons.
From
way, way, way back from like
season four or five. Wow, man, that's like early 90s.
Yeah, it's from the Treehouse of Horror 4 episode. So anyway, it's way
94.
Back. Way back.
Yeah.
In this episode, Homer says that he would sell his soul for a donut. And the devil, in the guise of Ned Flanders, appears to make him that deal.
Oogly doogly.
And so he eats most of the donut, but not the whole donut. And then finally, when he takes the last bite of the donut, then the devil shows up to collect his soul. A trial ensues to see who has legal ownership of Homer's soul. And it's resolved, spoilers coming up here, when Marge testifies that when they got married, Homer pledged his soul to her for all eternity. And so it was not his to deal away.
No.
And that
Marge to the rescue.
Marge to the rescue. It's a really lovely episode in that resolution. And I've remembered it all these years. I stopped watching The Simpsons years ago, but I've always remembered that episode. So I think that's very much what's going on here. Paul uses the same sort of logic with respect to the believers making a deal with a prostitute when the believer's body and soul belong to Christ. So that's logic. Then for a bit of sort of math science sort of thing, going along in this similar sort of idea, in astrodynamics.
Ooh.
Yes, yes.
We get to astrodynamics from fornication?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Sort of. There's something called the three-body gravitational problem.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so we're dealing with three bodies, and that's the thing. And the three-body problem is basically, it ends up most times being chaotic or unstable. And what usually happens is that one of the three gets kicked out of the system and the other two end up in some sort of stable relationship, as it were.
So it's kind of not a stool, a three-legged stool.
Right. Huh. Not at all. So because they're moving and they're attracting each other.
I see.
And okay. So it's dynamic instead of
stable.
Static.
Static. Right. Okay.
And that's what makes the difference. So you have they're acting on each other in very complicated ways.
So if the stool were moving,
if the legs of the stool were moving relative to each other and attracting each other,
okay, you'd be knocked off of it
very quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. And this, when we're talking about gravitationally attracted bodies, you know, it's like
space.
Planets, sun and yep. suns, you know, things like that.
Oh, right. Astrophysics.
Yeah.
Not stools.
Right.
Sorry, I came back down to earth. Anyway, you. The third one gets ejected
right.
and the other two start circling each other.
Yeah. So the reason I brought this up is that the Corinthian believers here are supposed to be in orbit with Christ, mm-hmm. but they are bringing in the prostitute. And so that makes this a complicated body. And they end up then in a chaotic dance between the two. And somebody's going to get kicked out, whether it's the prostitute or the believer or Christ. Somebody's not going to end up in the equation in the end.
And Paul's logic is it's the believer in Jesus, so the natural ejection is the,
right.
is the prostitute.
Okay. Right. So let the prostitute get in her own orbit with Jesus. But that would be ideal, mm-hmm. although Paul doesn't address that here.
No, he doesn't. Well, that's interesting. Well, okay, continuing on with the idea of prostitution with body smart, Paul's argument here really focuses on the value of the body of the believer. It got me to thinking about the consequences of prostitution. And so I Googled consequences of prostitution and came up with this long list of arguments against the legalization of prostitution. There seems to be an argument, or there has been an argument, that prostitution is a victimless crime. Mm-hmm. But a couple of the articles that popped up in the Google search, and we have the link to the Google search, a couple of them argue very clearly and very cogently that it is not a victimless crime. It seems kind of thin and unsustainable, that argument.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of links, two of them particularly that I pulled out of that long list to take a look at, about the consequences of legalization, at least anyway, or the consequences for everybody involved in prostitution.
And then all things may be legal, but it's not
beneficial. Exactly.
Yeah, nice.
And then also that got me to thinking about nonprofit organizations, or just any organization anywhere that work with people who are victims of sex traffickers. And so I went to Wikipedia and found a non-exhaustive list of organizations throughout the world that work with sex trafficking victims. And so a question you might have, or something to ponder, and then maybe you can send this out as feelers to folks in your congregation: does your community have a group or have contacts with any groups that work with sex trafficking victims in a way to either help them get out or to put a stop to sex trafficking or sex work? And is there an opportunity maybe to begin exploring financial and spiritual support for the victims that are in your area? What kind of outreach can you do based on that? Paul doesn't really seem to have a great deal of compassion or empathy for the people who are the prostitutes, but that doesn't mean that we can't.
Fair enough. And that draws into people smart.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
Very good. For Nature Smart, we have a parable for you, and we've got a link to this discussion, and it's a parable of potholes. Now, potholes you might not think of as a natural event, because, you know, it's in the middle of a road, and your car is what's alerting you to its presence. But there is a natural process involved in creating that pothole, and it has to do with the water pooling, softening the surface, and then as the cars drive through it, it carries the water out and the sediment out, and the sediment stays
out,
but the water goes back in and repeats the cycle. And
right,
just
so more
digs
and more water,
hole.
Right, more and more water.
Right, and deeper and deeper hole.
Which
and
is weird. You would never think of water as being like a shovel.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the way it's acting here.
It is.
With the pressure of the tire going across the top of it.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. And then if it's pavement, then it's all the worse because it cracks through the pavement and then it starts separating the layers underneath and then everything crumbles and it gets.
So is that why sometimes when you see potholes in the road, you also see the big chunks of asphalt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're cracking apart and. Okay. So anyway, we've got a link to that. And it's if you follow the link, it's about halfway down the page. So you may have to scroll down or just do a search on that page maybe.
There's some other interesting stuff on that page too. But okay. Yeah.
So it talks about all of that. And the connection here is the author of the parable talks about the corruption that happens in our society and that it starts off as that little bit of stuff and then just keeps digging deeper and deeper. Mm-hmm. And that's what Paul was trying to stop in the Corinthian church was that continual digging. Okay, let's go on. The gospel lesson for Year B, Ordinary 2, or Epiphany 2 is John 1, 43-51. This is the call of the second disciples in John. He's got the first ones earlier in the chapter, but here we have Philip being added to the number, and then Philip goes off and finds Nathanael and tells him that, hey, we found the guy, the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. It's Jesus from Nazareth. And he's like, Nazareth? Are you kidding? What?
You gotta be kidding.
No, come and see. Come and see. So it comes, and Jesus and Nathanael have this little interaction back and forth. And it's like, Jesus says, hey, here comes a really honest Israelite. And it's like, how do you know me? And Jesus, I saw you under the fig tree. Oh, you must be the king of Israel then.
I think a lot is being lost in translation. Yeah. We just don't get the context.
I guess. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit further down. But somebody isn't believing somebody's reaction here.
Right, right. Well, that and we don't understand all the symbolism either, not being Jews in the first century.
Yeah. Anyway, so they have this little back and forth and Jesus says, you ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So, well, all right. So let's dig into this a little bit and see what we've got. We're going to take a look at iSmart with both illustration and special effect in Music Smart, and both illustration and special effects for people and self.
Well, we'll start off with iSmart with a couple of different illustrations, starting at verse 46, where Philip says to Nathanael, come and see. And a lot of times when we hear the phrase come and see, that's what we say when we want someone to know something and we understand that they're going to have to experience it in order to be able to do so. So it's kind of like a child who's seen something unusual or really fantastic and wants an adult to come witness it too. They run up to you, they grab you by the hand, which is kind of a physical way of saying come and see. And then they take you to wherever, whatever it is they want you to see it is. So that's kind of the motivation behind what Philip is doing with Nathanael here. He knows he's not going to be able to talk him into this. He's going to have to just have him come and see. And apparently the relationship between the two of them is such that Nathanael trusts Philip and follows off to go see it. Then for finding, the word is used frequently in these verses. So it illustrates what finding is. There are different ways to find stuff. You incidentally come across something that you aren't searching for. You know, you're doing something and you move something. Oh, hey, there's that thing. Or you intentionally search for something until you find that specific thing. Where did I have it last? Or, Mom, have you seen? Which my response is, where did you see it last?
Yeah, of course.
So you can call each of those to mind, describing the experience of finding a quarter on the sidewalk, walking along. Oh, hey, look, a quarter. Or finding your misplaced car keys when you have to go to work, which is a much more intentional and harried kind of search. So we put this in I for the visual component of looking and for the spatial component, especially in searching. For a special effect, you could act out the finding and searching by leaving a quarter on the floor of the chancel before the service for you to find during the sermon. Make sure nobody else accidentally finds it before you. You might want to tape it down. Yeah. Don't touch that. Or similarly, hiding a set of keys in an out-of-the-way place for you to find, like in your pocket.
As sometimes happens. Yeah.
Like that video we saw of that little girl who lost her sunglasses. I can't find my sunglasses. And his father finally says, honey, touch your head. So she puts her hand up to her head, finds her sunglasses, and puts them on.
For Music Smart, for a special effect, now this would be while reading the text.
Or talking about it.
Or talking about it. I'm imagining that you would do this in the reading of the text, but you could do it through the sermon too. But that you have musical cues for certain points along the way in the text, certain special moments here to indicate the different moods, thoughts,
interactions,
subtleties, interactions, things like that. So some of the suggestions that we came up with were "Follow Me." And it only comes up once, but it might come up more in your sermon. There's a song by John Denver called "Follow Me," and it's got that. So you could just get the clip of the chorus
very first,
there.
At the beginning.
"Follow Me Where I Go." That one. Mm-hmm. For "Found," which shows up several times, you could have a ta-da sort of sound effect. Mm-hmm. For "Moses and the Prophets" that gets stated there, I don't know, maybe something by the Temptations or something rhythm and bluesy, you know, because it kind of sounds like
Moses and the Prophets.
Yeah, yeah. It's a band, right?
Yeah.
It's a singing group. Nazareth, I thought of dueling banjos because
it's kind of the backwater.
Hill country kind of thing. So anyway, it's something to indicate the hickish nature of what Nathaniel thinks of as Nazareth. Anyway, any of the titles for Jesus, do a triangle playing. You know, this is what happens in Jesus Christ Superstar. So just carry that one along. Under the fig tree, maybe play a clip from "Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree," that old song.
I also thought of "Under the Boardwalk."
Or "Under the Boardwalk." Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't have to be what we suggest. You know, something that, just something that triggers. "You Will See," maybe, would be another one. And we've got a clip for a song by Daniel Doster Mann, who wrote a song called "You Will See." And the way you could do that is you'd have to do a little audio editing to get those put together, which isn't all that difficult if you, I don't think it is, but then I edit the show every week.
So, yeah.
But it's not too hard. And there's software to help you do that. And then there's also software that you can plug those clips into. So you just have to hit a button and it'll play that clip.
Cool.
And you can have them all lined up. So we have some links to a couple of apps for iOS and Mac, just because that's why I had time to look up. I didn't look up for other systems, but they're out there too. And so if you have somebody in your congregation, if you're not comfortable doing that, there may be somebody that you know that
has that kind of expertise and interest.
Right.
Yeah.
Who could put that all together.
Be your sound editor for you.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
For People Smart, for illustrations, thinking of Nathaniel and him being proclaimed as having no deceit, he speaks very honestly and plainly. My experience of plain-speaking people are people that scare the snot out of me. They tell you exactly what's on their minds, and sometimes that can be pretty abrupt and kind of set you back a bit. But you also never have to guess what it is that they're thinking, and you can trust the veracity of their opinion, because they're not going to lie to you.
Always grateful for those folks. Eventually,
yes, I have come to be very, very eventually. I have in the years that we've been doing this, I have come to really prize the people that speak clearly and don't back down. Yep. They say what they think, and they mean what they say. Another illustration, I came across someone quoting Joss Whedon, who is the creator and director of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Firefly, many other really cool television shows. He has a quote, and somebody had asked him, I guess, one time about working with people. He said, "Recognizing power in another does not diminish your own." And so in terms of this particular passage, or really any passage, you could adapt the quote to being recognizing the humanity in another does not diminish your own. I think that's kind of an interesting way of looking at the way that Jesus approached both Nathanael and Philip. You know, he recognized their humanity. Of course, his humanity could not be diminished, but he affirmed their humanity. And so they
were
able to grow in theirs.
Was skeptical of his.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. For another illustration, we have an article about love at first sight. We have a link to that. It's not necessarily what has happened here, but there's certainly an immediacy to the relationship that Jesus formed with his disciples. And such a bonding can happen between friends or teachers and students as well as lovers. So there is kind of an immediate connection and you're my kind of person, that sort of thing. And then finally is an illustration in verse 46. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a backwater hill country, and it didn't have a good reputation for producing people of character or people who were successful. So the question, of course, is, are there similar places near your geographical location that people kind of tend to look down on? And how would people in your community edit Nathanael's quip? What would they say? Can anything good come out of whatever the place? And then imagine Jesus coming out of that place. For a special effect, this is again the interaction between Jesus and Nathanael. Act out the scene between them a couple of different ways with different emotional motivations. The traditional reading we have, first of all, is Nathanael is genuinely and inexplicably converted by Jesus' explanation, and Jesus assures him that he ain't seen nothing yet. Another way of interpreting this could be Nathanael replies sarcastically, still incredulous because of Jesus' simple explanation. Jesus plays along, but lets him know he ain't seen nothing yet. And then third, any other way you can think of to do it. Perhaps Nathanael's sarcasm might be playful in one and spiteful in another. But either way, Jesus is consistently assuring Nathanael, oh, son, you don't know. You have no idea.
For self-smart, when Jesus finds Philip, he tells him to follow. And in Greek, that is akolouthe, which means to be in the same way with or to imitate. So Philip immediately runs off and finds Nathanael. So is this what following Jesus really is? Running off to get people in our lives and bring them back to Jesus? And if so, then how are you doing with that?
Yeah.
Right. Going on to special effect, in verse 46 again about Nazareth, are there people or places that you have a difficult time imagining God using for God's purposes? And why? What makes it so? Mm-hmm. And then thinking about the other way around, what roadblocks do you encounter when you open up about your faith? And how do you respond when you hit those roadblocks, with doubt or with confidence?
Cool.
Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org. or at facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea you liked even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS. Or point your podcasting software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. Help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes store. And of course, you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week. In the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart. Please listen and try again.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.